Yard. Welcome back. We're going to be talking about finishing up this brisket story. If you just tuned in, I'll recap this for you. Barbecue Bob had trimmed, he had seasoned, and he had put the brisket on the smoker at 275, and we were at the point where it got up to about 100, 155. What next, Bob?
Well, welcome back. I just want to say thank you to our producer, Mr. Brian Funger. That's a little Darius, wasn't it? He's on the stick here, Fong. He's the wizard of the big board. He makes us sound better than we really are because we're really
it is magic what he
really
can do
a couple
with my
of hacks.
My voice, yeah.
Oh, your voice is great for radio.
Yeah, right. It's the face part. Yeah, okay. Everybody do it now. Yeah.
Okay.
Back
so
to
I
150.
Didn't say that. You did.
Back to 155 so, degrees that your brisket's at.
Yeah. So this is one of the few times again I bust Joppy's. Something's about using aluminum foil or aluminium foil. And this is one of those times when I'll actually use aluminum foil. And I've tried the butcher paper. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan.
Doesn't seal it up tight.
It's, you know, I'm not a competition barbecue guy. I'm not trying to get graded on my bark. I'm going to get graded by how juicy and tender and beautiful that piece of brisket is from my wife or my buddy's wife or my buddy. It's not about, you know, some judge sitting behind some weird panel,
who's looking for my greenery.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm not going to do that either. So I want to wrap that thing in foil, and then I'm going to take just a little bit of beef broth and put
right out of the box.
Just regular out of the box, or maybe a porter. If I have a nice beer, I could use a porter. But what I'm going to add to it is a little Worcestershire.
Okay.
And that makes all the difference in the world. Oh. I wish the shear is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It really is. And you don't want to put too much in. You got to be careful. But
it's a little tangy.
But, you know, when we get done doing those big bunches of brisket, you know, that au jus that's in the bottom of that is a fantastic. My mouth's watering thinking about how good that is. But
That's
a beautiful thing. You could make brisket gravy out of that.
Right. So you wrap this thing at 155 degrees with a little bit of juice and Worcestershire
and,
in there.
And here's the
and
key.
Then what?
Here's the key. You need that heavy-duty foil and the big rolls of it and lay out two sheets right off the bat. Because I'm going to set it on the first one. I'm going to pull the sides up, all four sides up, so it's kind of standing up. And then I'm going to pour a little bit of broth on the side of that so it puddles in the bottom. I'm going to wrap that thing up. And then I'm going to take that second layer of tin foil and do the same thing. I'm going to wrap that up again and scrunch it up nice in the top so that it is sealed.
Okay.
Now I'm going to throw it back in the smoker, whatever temperature you want, but I'm going to probably do it at the same 275 to 3 1/4, right where I've been. And if it's a charcoal fire, I might range from 275 to 3 1/4. You know that. Yeah.
Right.
You do that on
wind,
your big smoker.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. So... And then I'm going to bring it up to 197, 196, right in there, and pull it.
Right. And then when you pull it off the smoker, you're letting it rest a while before you're going to get into it.
And that's a good point. Also, when I stick that probe in that, I want to make sure I'm in the center of that point in the thick end, not in the flat.
Right. And the flat won't be overdone. It'll be more done. But it won't be overdone. But you've got to get that thick part to that temperature before it's going to slice nice for you.
That's right. Now, you bring up something that I also do sometimes, and it's almost whimsical. You know, sometimes a mood hits you, and you go, I'm just going to do this.
Right.
Sometimes with briskets, I'll just cut that flat off right where the deckle, the point, and the flat meet, and towards the back end of that plane. I'm going to cut the tail
right where the wings are.
I'm going to take right behind the wings. I'm going to cut that back end of that thing off, and I'm going to smoke that up separately. So if I'm on a bullet or a stack-up smoker or like a Primo oval extra large where it's got the upper rack and the lower rack, you know, I can have two levels of it. I'm going to put that thick point at the top where it's hottest because it's going to take longer to cook. And then that flat is going to reach 150 before the point does. So I'm going to pull that off and wrap it earlier and then pull that point and deckle.
Separately.
And wrap
get them
that
both
later.
To that 196, 197.
And then again, just that flat is going to be done earlier as well. And I'm going to pull that the same way.
Okay, cool. So akin to the brisket is a little bit further back on the animal, something we often call brisket on a stick, and that is that full-bone beef rib.
Right.
And your butcher can cut these down so you've got just the meat on the rib, or it's kind of fun sometime to leave some of that rib on there, and he'll French it back a little bit for you. So you got the Fred Flintstone deal where you've got...
Yeah, and if you just have them cut them in full ribs so that they're lengthwise, they don't even necessarily French them. What's going to happen when you smoke that thing, it's going to just release from the long end of that rib, and it's all going to scrunch down onto the end. It just contracts, and it does it on its own. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
And it is Fred Flintstone meat.
No, it's man meat. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man. Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man! Now you're a man!
Deep ribs, man law. I want a beer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
If your friend dies, you shall delete his browser history. Manlaw 47.
All right. Yep. Help a brother out.
That's right.
Help a brother out. Okay. So back to beef ribs. These I struggle with as well. And so walk me through, Bob. I've got this. It's a much smaller piece of meat than the brisket that we were talking about, but it's a similar piece of meat.
And when you get your butcher to cut these up, what they typically do is they cut them into short ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, too. It just doesn't give you the effect that you and I like, where you got that big stick and you can walk around.
Food on a handle, you know, man, is where it's at.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so you get them to cut a full rack, and he'll either cut them up into individual ribs for you, or you can smoke the whole rack.
Right.
Now, when I did all those roasts for the men's night at church,
yep.
Sobe took the rib section completely off and then trussed it together. Well, I untrussed them as soon as I got there, and I just smoked. I rubbed and smoked the whole roast.
Right.
Okay? That gave me all kinds of racks of beef ribs.
Sure.
And rubbed those and threw them on the smoker as well in full sections.
Right.
And then I cut them apart when I was serving the guys
right.
before the dinner started.
Right.
I had all these racks of ribs. And that's another nice way to do it. It's easier. But I had already taken so much of the meat off, it didn't really matter.
Right.
But there was still a beautiful, kind of a perfect amount of meat on there, actually.
Right. So when they're cooking, they shrink up, they move up. You'll have, depending on the length of the bone, you'll have a few inches of bone exposed, and the rest of it is meat. And when they're done cooking, you're going to have more bone than meat because they slide up the bone
yep.
as they cook, contracts a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if you do buy a standard roast like that with the ribs, a rib roast, and you have your butcher cut it apart and you're going to truss it up, I would say I wouldn't truss it up. For one thing, I think that's a bit of a falsehood, because people say, well, you want the bone there because of the flavor. No, that bone already did its work. What you want is that roast to cook evenly without that barrier of the ribs on one side, so you're not really cooking this thing to the same doneness.
Right.
So if you're doing standing rib, it's one thing. But if you're going to have it detached for presentation and have it fall, nah, just cook it on its own. And then throw those ribs in the freezer until you get your smoker going the next time, and then smoke all those up together, because those things should be a standalone thing. You smoke up a rack of those beef ribs like that. Again, the mouth's watering right now. There's not much better than that. It's brisket on a stick.
So are we doing the same thing? We're taking it up to like 196, 197? Are we wrapping it
150
all of that?
When they look like they've pulled quite a bit, I'm going to wrap them. And I may or may not put any juice in there with them. They probably won't need it. There's so much fat on the ribs that they're going to hydrate themselves.
Right. But again, that 196, 197 temperature is where I want to pull them?
You know, you'll know when they're done. There's not a lot there to probe, and it varies all over the place. So
okay.
I would tell you that's just a touch thing.
Yeah.
I like touching beef ribs.
Well, yeah, I like tasting them. Yours are really good as well. I remember...
You.
Rob Russell, Cowboy Rob Russell, is the first one that ever put a real one of those in front of me, And I was like, I remember, oh man, this is unbelievable.
Well, I think just when you saw it alone, it was, you thought we were in heaven.
Right.
We were at the gates. We weren't there.
Coming up next, our friends at Al and Bob Sports here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I have a brand new store that they're opening up next weekend. And we're going to talk with the proprietor, Merle Shoemaker. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I watched him drive away over the hill. Not against her will, I've got time to kill. Down in Broken Hartsville.